Welcome to What's Ailing America with your host, Dr. Rebecca Carlin, the world's only court-qualified expert in vaccine-induced diseases.
Namaste, and welcome back to another edition of What's Ailing America, one of your most important weapons in fighting the war on truth being waged against the people by the mainstream media. The views expressed on this broadcast are not endorsed by BBS Radio, its staff, or management, but represent the views and opinions of the host, guests, and callers. Additionally, the information I share with you is not to be construed as medical advice. Rather, I am merely teaching you what I would do if I were you after much research on each subject. To learn about my work explaining and reversing vaccine-induced diseases, please go to my website, drcarly.com, and listen to the interview of myself by the Chiropractic Leadership Alliance to learn how I transformed from a trauma surgeon to a court-qualified expert in vaccine-induced diseases and how the medical mafia has responded to my stepping out of the box. Make sure you sign up for the updates on my site as I send out important information you need to know on a regular basis. I do consults for people and pets with autoimmune diseases, seizures, or cancer, and teach you how to reverse these conditions with natural therapies. I have clients all over the world and do not and create your individual protocol based solely on history alone. You do not need to travel to North Carolina to see me in person. Please call me at 828-294-0662 between 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Time any day of the week to learn how I do consults. My phone number is also on my website. I ask you to consider the information I share with you using your own innate intelligence, the common sense you were all given by your Creator. Do not believe anything I tell you. Check things out for yourself, for we have been lied to about everything, and each person must develop the ability to discern the truth for themselves if we are to extricate ourselves from the matrix of darkness that has evolved because we sat by and did nothing. My guests and I love to answer your questions, so feel free to call in. You can use your first name only if you like, and all shows are archived. The numbers to call in are listed on the bbsradio.com website, Station 2, and include the following. Toll-free USA and Canada, 888-228-4494. Toll-free worldwide, 877-489-6350. You can also use Skype at BBS Radio or PalTalk at bbsradio_com. Every week I will answer the question, What's Ailing America, with a different response, as well as share the good news as to what can heal America on many levels. My goal is to assist in the evolution of consciousness on this planet, for awareness of the truth shall set us free. And I know that once enough of us have become aware that we have been lied to about everything, including the fact that vaccines are good, when they are actually inoculations with disease and thus are the true weapons of mass destruction, including the fact that these alphabet agencies we're paying our tax dollars for are helping us and protecting us when in actuality they are actually protecting the wrongdoers and allowing us to be exposed to toxic chemicals, drugs, etc., and all of these things, and that is their job. Together, we will stop this holocaust on the health of people and pets and fire these people and let them know we no longer require their services. And that truth, when put on top of the mountain of lies upon which this country is built, will cause the entire mountain of lies to crumble. It is time for everyone with a conscience to realize if you don't stand up for the truth, you will fall for any lies. I can only show you the door. You have to walk through it. The question is, how far down the rabbit hole are you willing to go? And I would like to thank the Americans Bulletin for sponsoring this show. The Americans Bulletin is one of the last bastions of a non-controlled, non-corporate press. Recent issues have carried articles on the planned use of water as a weapon of mass destruction, the true purpose behind the Social Security number, whether or not taxes are legal, how the financial system has been tweaked to make you a slave of the state, what you can do about it, alternative health, the vaccination issue, and soon they will be covering what has happened to my son and exposing that whole can of worms. You can subscribe to the Americans Bulletin by visiting the website, AmericansBulletin.com, or by calling 541-733-2756. The Americans Bulletin, because you need to know the truth. Only $40 a year, 6 issues a year. It's a First Amendment forum for free-thinking people. And also remember, in case you have time during the day to listen to the show, I am also now on www.republicbroadcasting.org every Wednesday at 12 noon Eastern Time for 2 hours. As it's the first Thursday of the month, on tonight's show, we will answer the What's Ailing America with so many different responses with one of my favorite health journalists and nutrition gurus, Chris Barr. Are you there, Chris?
I am here, Dr. Carley.
Well, thank you
am here, but I need to give just a small notation to the people producing the show. We're having thunderstorms in this area, lots of lightning. So if I should disappear, just call me back.
Okay, very good. And, yes, Chris, because sometimes they're busy doing things and they might not always hear that you disappeared. Please write down the call-in number so that you could call back in yourself. It's 888.
Okay, I'll do that right now.
Yes, please do. 888.
What is it?
888-228-4494. You got it?
888-228-4494.
Excellent. Okay.
Got it.
And before Chris and I start talking about so many things we wanted to discuss tonight, I just have to make a comment about the excellent, excellent show that was on Larry King Live last night on Autism Day. I hope that all of you saw it, where Jenny McCarthy, I was so proud of her. She has been what I would term a mercury disinformer up to this point. Obviously, it was because she was not educated, but she has come out of the closet now. She is totally going against vaccines in all their horrific manifestations, and was just so fantastic on the show, going up against these pediatrician minions, especially this Dr. Talo, who's the president-elect of the American Academy of Pediatrics. And it was just very funny, because he actually was stupid enough to say right on television that he has never in his 100,000 patients referred one person to the Vaccine Injury Compensation Fund, which exists in part, and I found out about this thanks to Chris Barr, who has the most amazing ability to monitor the media and the net and to find all of these little gems which he sends to me. Turns out this Dr. Talo minion, although he said he has never in his 100,000 patients referred one person to the Vaccine Injury Compensation Fund, turns out the Vaccine Compensation Injury Fund exists in part due to one of the largest malpractice suits that's ever gone down, which occurred back in 1985, where he was sued and lost the case. A $3.5 million settlement was awarded to the family of a child who he caused permanent brain injury to after he gave them the DPT shot. And it turns out that's one of the biggest awards that's ever been given out. So isn't it funny, Chris, how that works out?
Yes. This is the man about to be the president of the American Academy of Pediatrics. And maybe he's appropriate for the level that pediatrics has fallen to in this day and age.
I agree with you, because if people can't wake up when hearing a minion like him, and there were so many wonderful things that were brought out in that show. If the listeners didn't hear that show, I hope that it's available on CNN, that you can still watch it. Maybe it's there as an archive or something, but you got to see it. She held up a chart of the vaccine schedule as of 10 years ago and then showed the schedule today, which is over 30 vaccines by age 2. And, you know, right in his face asking him, are all these vaccines necessary? And he makes a stupid statement like, well, they're recommended. And the best part of all, as far as I was concerned, when one of the other people asked him a question about, well, doesn't the millions and millions of dollars that the American Academy of Pediatrics gets from the pharmaceutical cartels influence their judgment as to what vaccines they recommend? And he basically just said, of course not. You know, and I'm sure it doesn't affect them any more than the money that politicians get as they sell out our rights for cash affects the politicians. So please do check that out, folks. It was a beauty. And Jenny McCarthy and her boyfriend are going to be having a gathering in Washington, D.C. on June 4th to basically, you know, get together and discuss what's happening with this insane vaccination situation. And I just may show up there myself. So it's just a wonderful thing. It's very obvious that the people are rising up now, and it's a lot took a lot longer than I had hoped it would, but it's happening. And just one other quick thing, I want to thank one of my listeners, who I'm not going to mention her name for obvious reasons, who actually works for Kaiser Permanente in California. And she sent me the most amazing memo that was sent out to all the staff in this particular hospital about the off-label usage of the Gardasil vaccine, the HPV vaccine, basically telling the staff that they found from their records that over 2,000 patients have been given the Gardasil vaccine who are outside of both FDA and CDC guidelines, which includes females less than age 9 and greater than age 26, as well as males. So they're basically just telling them, that's not what we're supposed to be doing, folks. Please don't do that. And it's just amazing. They're just using that vaccine, and anybody they want is shooting it up to anybody that walks into the office. And this person has sent me all kinds of gold that I'm sure Kaiser Permanente would not want me to have my hands on. And I'll be including a lot of this stuff in my book, which I'm working on. So, Chris, we have so much to talk about. I'm going to pretty much let you take the show, and I'll just add a few little bits of information as I can contribute. But I know you wanted to start out the show by honoring Ida Onaroff. So please do share with our listeners who this wonderful woman was. And unfortunately, she's no longer with us, but please do tell the listeners what they need to know about this fireball.
Well, I will come to Ida Onaroff as soon as I comment on that chart that you said was held up.
Okay.
Because that is really the key to the proof that autism is caused by vaccinations in general and not any one specifically or even any one agent within them specifically. It was a study 2 months ago. It got lots of news. I think it was the Archives of Internal Medicine or Psychiatry or one of the big journals that said they had proven that mercury is not linked to autism. Well, what they actually did with that study was prove that vaccines are the cause because they simply took a California, which has a large amount of people and a large amount of children. They cited figures from the early 90s through the year 2007 with children ages 3 to 12. And the reason they chose California was because California passed a law back in the 90s forcing or requiring the removal of mercury, even though there's some question as to how much has been removed. And so they showed that prior to the removal of mercury and then after, that there wasn't any change or decrease, rather, in the autism rate, but that autism, in fact, continued to rise. So they cited that as proof that they've completely disproven the mercury link to autism. Of course, Dr. Carley and myself for years have been telling people, stop saying mercury causes autism. Mercury is only one of many factors. It's not the factor. But the gem in this study that no one addressed, except for Dr. Carley and myself, was that at the beginning of this study, there were 10 injections containing 30 vaccinations recommended before the age of 6. That's at the beginning of this study period. At the end of the study period, there were 38 injections containing 124 vaccinations recommended before the age of 6 at the conclusion of the study period. Now, when you look and see that the rise in autism from when there were 10 injections with 30 vaccinations, because they put more than one vaccine in some of these injections, even though they've never been tested safe and or effective in combination one with the other, although the truth be known, they haven't been tested individually either for safety and effectiveness in truth. But there's been no testing at all of combinations up until the last few months, which is interesting, because they found that the combinations cause more side effects than when they give the same vaccines separate from one another. That's been two different studies in the last month. But getting back to this study 2 months ago, they have found that there's been a fourfold increase in autism since there were less injections than when there were more. Well, just do the math. 10 injections to 38, that's 3.8, almost four times as many injections. But more importantly, they've increased the amount of vaccines per injection, and 30 to 124 is just over four times as many vaccinations, a just greater than fourfold increase. And that is precisely the rise in autism over the same period of time, just over fourfold increase. So though the study did not make any mention of this at all, the fact of the matter is the facts are there before anyone who has eyes to see. This study, in fact, proved that vaccinations in general are the cause of autism. So I couldn't let that go away when you mentioned that chart that was held up, because that is really the key to the whole matter. And no one's talking about it, Dr. Carley, except for you and for I, I'm sad to say. And my good friend Robert Scott Bell on national radio has also covered this. That's about
and
it.
Please repeat, Chris, where was that study published?
I believe it was the Journal one of the psychiatric journals. I don't have it right in front of me right now.
Oh, right. Yeah, I discussed that a couple months ago on the show. Yeah, I do have that. But I also just want to add to what you said. I totally agree with everything you said. However, the main factor with the autism, which is a demyelinating disease, is the measles virus, which causes demyelination. Autism is actually non-fatal subacute sclerosing panencephalitis, and I do discuss that in the response to the CDC on my website. But autism is only but one of many demyelinating diseases, and that's why it's so important that people understand that now is the time to start spreading the word about this, folks. I just can feel it in my bones that we are going to stop this Holocaust. People are waking up. They made such fools out of those white coats on television last night. Hear this mom asking these few hard questions, and we're going to do it, and it's going to take I don't think that much more time. I think this is the year that we're going to turn the whole thing around, and this just goes to show what people that have a passion, that speak the truth, you know, no matter what it costs, what they're capable of doing, and I'm just so excited that this is happening. So thanks for everything you said, Chris, and let's just carry on, and thank you for sending me all the gold that you send me. I do appreciate it.
Well, moving on to Ida Honoroff. Just in honor of Ida Honoroff, you know, Dr. Carley, as a first-time father, my life was profoundly changed by Ida Honoroff back in the 1970s. Now, Ida Honoroff was a consumer, an environmental activist. She also was an award-winning journalist. She actually won national awards from the Associated Press, of all places. And she was, by no stretch of the imagination, mainstream. She was on the early KPFK radio in Southern California, which was the forerunner of NPR. She was a book author. She had a weekly radio broadcast for more than 20 years. And it was due to her influence that all of these things that she did, with the exception of the award-winning AP portion, have subsequently become a part of my own life. And I'm not holding my breath waiting for Associated Propaganda to give me any awards, so I'm just put that one to rest right now. But only recently did the notice of the death of Ida Onaroff come my way as I was doing some research. I've tried to find her for years, and she seemed to disappear from the landscape in the late 80s. And I found out that she had actually left her broadcasting and all of her work in the late 80s to go be with family, and that's why I couldn't find her. But my efforts to locate Ida Onaroff through the years were to personally give thanks to her, though I was unsuccessful in personally reaching her. So now, thank you, Dr. Carley, for this opportunity to give public thanks. Just 1 year after her death at the age of 93. And interesting, at the age of 5 was when she was first arrested in Chicago, the home of the AMA headquarters, by the way, I might note. She was arrested with her parents while engaged in a public protest. So she had quite a long history of speaking out against the wrong and standing up for the little guy. As a child, she also witnessed a gangland shooting in Chicago, and her daughter-in-law told the LA Times that that, quote, put a permanent fierceness in her, end quote. Now, Ida Onaroff was often the first or one of the first to cover many health and environmental issues. She was among the very earliest critics of diethylstilbestrol, a DES, that was a hormone used to fatten cattle and subsequently, because of her research, found to cause cancer, or because of her hounding after it, actually. Also, the investigation by Ida Onaroff into the pesticide Monitor 4 that was harming crops and farm workers resulted in its ban from use, and that's what she received the AP Investigative Journalism Award for, was for that work, that she actually traveled the country and went to Chicago and other places to focus this attention. She also campaigned against fluoridation of public water supplies. She campaigned against widespread spraying of the pesticide malathion over densely populated public areas. She was also one of the very first to speak out against the dangers of aspartame, or NutraSweet, after it was surreptitiously approved in 1981. And again, she then seemed to fall off the map in the late 80s after more than 20 years of extensive activism. And, you know, I just happened to stumble upon this notice. And interesting that even when she tried to retire, initially her retirement brought her into one more battle, as it didn't take her long after she moved to the far north of California in a pristine redwood area, generally known for clean air. Well, she discovered two pulp mills were polluting that pristine air in her new home area with deadly chemical waste. And she led the charge against that, and against really insurmountable odds, because the large paper mills were the primary employers of the region, and they recruited their employees to lie against what Onaroff was saying by scaring them that they would lose their jobs. But Onaroff fought hard enough and long enough that the employees actually turned against their own company, and eventually one of the companies was driven out of the area, and the other one, Louisiana Pacific, I believe it was called, had to pay millions of dollars in reparations and completely change their methods of operation. So even well into her 70s, after she went into retirement, she continued taking on literally as a little David against Goliath. For she was just a small woman, a little spry, short, and fiery woman. And as a new father in the 1970s was when I came to her, or came to know of her, and eventually to meet her and get you know, counsel from her. I was seeking the very best for my own children with the birth of my firstborn, and I came across this book, Vaccination, The Silent Killer, a clear and present danger. Well, this was no less than stunning to me, as my own personal raising was in a stereotypically traditional American Christian family that revered medical doctors as those specially anointed by God. I was raised to mock health food nuts and anything even remotely anti-medical. Well, finally, it was my privilege to meet Ida Onaroff, and she gave me a very strong encouragement as this tiny, spirited, stereotypical fiery redhead. She spared no punches with her straightforward, plain speaking, telling me in very descriptive, colorful language how to fend off family members trying to push vaccination on my children. And it was in her book that there was just a brief mention of Antoine Béchamp. Well, Dr. Carley, that brief mention changed my life with my soon thereafter discovery of Béchamp as the preeminent yet largely unknown greatest scientist of modern times, if not of all time. And it was just because of that little mention she made in her book that the spirit within me leapt when I read that. Like, I had to get more information. I had to find out about that, which is, it had to be the spirit from on high, because I never had any interest in science. I was a straight-A student in school. I graduated from high school a year and a half early, but science was the only subject that never held any interest for me. So it had to be the Almighty himself directing me, because she didn't give but about two sentences of information about Béchamp, but something just leapt within me, and my discoveries about Antoine Béchamp by way of Ida Onaroff have resulted in devotion all of my adult life through four decades so far to shining a light of truth through the darkness of the mainstream establishment about health and other matters. The people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, to quote the Almighty himself by way of the Old Testament prophet Hosea. And, you know, I still have yet a ways to go to fill in the knowledge gap and to fill the shoes of the recently departed Ida Onaroff at the age of 93 1 year ago. Now, my favorite anecdote about the passion and fight for truth by Ida Onaroff was about her campaign against the federal government's swine flu inoculation program of President Ford that she referred to as Ford's folly with her usual accurate precision. And I'm just going to quote from the L.A. Times piece that honored her in death when they finally learned about it sometime after her passing. And so this is a direct quote from the L.A. Times article. It said, "For 3 months, she showed up at Los Angeles County Board of Supervisors meetings wearing a sandwich board on which she had scrawled, 'Demand to know the true hazards of the swine flu vaccine.' Well, the supervisors finally prohibited protests in the board chambers and ordered her to remove the sign. And Onaroff later recounted, 'I would start to do so, then they would say, no, because it appeared that I was nude underneath it.' But she was in fact wearing a very skimpy mini skirt. But from looking from the side, or as she started to drop the sign when they told her to, they went ahead and let her keep her sign on in the chambers there. Those are the types of lengths and the kind of fire that this Ida Onaroff had, and an unpayable debt of gratitude is owed by me to Ida Onaroff and by the countless numbers who have been helped by way of my efforts, because the vast majority of what I do harkens right back in its origin to Ida Onaroff. So, I would just like to add to that, Chris, that
her book that you mentioned, Vaccination, the Silent Killer, A Clear and Present Danger, is what I consider the most important book in my vaccine library, which I probably have 30. And I just wanted to also mention that because it is out of print, isn't it true that you plan on bringing it back out of print so that the listeners and other people can get a hold of this gem?
Yes, actually, I'm working on that currently, trying to get that set up to republish the book. And actually, my plan is to publish the book and then put an addendum to that by attaching Dr. Carley's outstanding weapons of mass destruction found on inoculations as the true weapons of disease. So it'll be a even more power-packed and fully in the spirit of Ida Onaroff when we get that together in the coming months.
I can't wait.
Okay, I can't either.
Please do go on about Antoine Béchamp, because I have you to thank for myself learning about Antoine Béchamp. Of course, I never learned his name in medical school, but he is also one of the most important people that we all have to thank for the knowledge that we're all finding out about and sharing with all of you.
Yes, and this is the year for the restoration of health freedom on a mass scale to begin to be turned around again. And the reason I say that is this is now the one, in fact, in a little less than 2 weeks will be the 100th anniversary of the death of Antoine Béchamp. And in 1908, in the spring of 1908, when he died, health freedom died with him. True health, true science of life and health and medicine all died with him, because interestingly enough, it was in the fall of that same year that Andrew Carnegie and the original senior Rockefeller commissioned the Flexner Report, which was really a sham and a scam to eliminate all the competition from the allopaths of modern medicine. And I didn't know this until just recently, that it was upon the death of Béchamp in the same year after he was out of the way that they began this work that was then released in 1910. It's a fairly famous paper amongst those who've done some homework, but everyone considers 1910 as the year, but it was actually 1908, after the death of Béchamp in the spring, that in the fall of the year that paper was commissioned. And Antoine Béchamp, when he died, it was not an isolated or unknown event. It was covered up significantly, but even Lancet and Nature, now these are two medical journals to this day that are highly revered, very prestigious journals, and 100 years ago, they were already the highest journals of medicine and science in that day. And each one of them gave an obituary about the passing of Béchamp, and they each noted that when the fullness of his works finally came to light, that humanity would be greatly benefited. And here now, 100 years later, it's still in the dark. You know, the work this man did was so incredible, and it wasn't small, it wasn't hidden away. When he died, the French Moniteur Scientifique, which was the equivalent of the American National Academy of Sciences proceedings, it actually is an 8.5 by 11 inch journal, and it took 8 pages just to list the titles of his published scientific studies and works. Just for the titles, it took 8 pages. So he was very well published, very exacting in his science, that spanned, 7 or 8 decades of actual research. He continued up into his 92nd year, was active right up until his death in all of this research. And what was that research? Well, he confirmed with exacting scientific precision that it is the milieu in the French, which has been anglicized into the English language, or more common understanding, the terrain. It's the environment that we place our bodies in, or the either the by way of nutrition or lack of nutrition, or by overwhelming of toxicity, that renders us susceptible to disease. And there was a man that everyone listening, I'm sure, knows by the name of Louis Pasteur, who actually was a scoundrel, a thief, a liar, a charlatan. And much of that has been documented in recent years, although they still lift him up as a hero, because Louis Pasteur took the works of Bécham, who he had crossed paths with very early in both their careers, and Pasteur recognized the genius of Bécham. Now, Bécham was a country boy, a very bright country boy, but nonetheless, he was a country boy out on the border of the Franco-German border, out in Strasbourg, and he simply sent all of his research into the center of the country, into Paris, in Paris, France, and he just figured that the truth will, you know, come to light, truth will stand on its own. He didn't know for many years that Pasteur awaited every transmission from Bécham, and within days or weeks would recopy in his own words his understanding of what Bécham wrote. And because Pasteur was not very bright, which, by the way, can be documented by looking at his degree that he was given, which, by the way, was in physics, not biochemistry, not chemistry, not biology, not medicine, physics. Pasteur was pretty sharp with crystals, and that's about as far as his sharpness of abilities go, unless you count lying, subterfuge, and fraud as skills, because Pasteur was, without a doubt, the greatest charlatan in the history of mankind. And since he wasn't very bright, on his degree that he was given for physics, they even wrote on it, moderate in chemistry. So that's the most they could say about him beyond physics, moderate in chemistry. So he took the incredible works of Bécham and tried to claim them as his own by rewriting them. And that is the foundation of modern medicine, because Pasteur, in his dullness, ended up turning inside out, upside down, and sideways the work of Bécham, which, again, he made up experiments to prove his points. The reason we know that he made them up initially was because if you duplicate the studies that he claimed to have done, they don't work. And in more recent years, about 30 years ago, his personal papers became public knowledge, in which he documented his stealing of works from others, his making up experiments to get published, to prove points that he had no proof for. So initially we knew these things because the experiments that he outlined don't work. But in more recent years, we actually have the admission by Pasteur's own hand that he just made experiments up that he didn't do, just printed them and said, here, this is how I proved my points. So that's why modern medicine claims that germs cause disease, while Bécham showed that germs are the result of a diseased organism. He noted that the process of life was the process of digestion, assimilation, disassimilation, and excretion, and that any interference in any one or more of these, to the extent of the interference, would determine lack of energy, disease, and death. Really, he was the first and most thorough of nutritional as well as medical scientists, because Antoine Bécham was degreed, university degrees in biology, in chemistry, in physics, in pharmacy, and yes, he also had a medical degree. Five different degrees, and he didn't just have those degrees, he also was a practitioner actively in all five of those disciplines, and he was a university professor in all five of those disciplines as well. There has not been any scientist in recorded history that can even tie this man's shoestrings when it comes to credentials. So that's why I don't pay any attention when people talk about credentials, because the most credentialed man in the history of the world, they ignore if they even know about him at all. In fact, one professor from Princeton, Gerald Geisen, wrote a book on Pasteur more than 10 years ago based upon the discoveries in Pasteur's personal papers. And he's a Princeton professor, so he knows which side his bread is buttered on. So rather than denouncing Pasteur as a scandal, he simply noted all these terrible lapses in morality and ethics of Pasteur. By writing this example of Pasteur, he wrote of Pasteur as an example of what determination can bring about in spite of flaws. Rather than questioning, well, shouldn't we question his work then? He simply noted that this is a sign of how triumph can come about even when someone's a bad person. But the truth is, that bad person, Louis Pasteur, I place in the same category as Adolf Hitler, Joseph Stalin, and Mao Zedong, because in truth, Louis Pasteur is personally responsible for more destructiveness and death than all of those individuals combined. And it wasn't an accident. It wasn't, he didn't know better. He knew he was stealing other work, and he came to learn of the errors of his ways, and he never recanted them publicly for them to be changed. So today's modern medicine is based upon Pasteurian foundation, and there's enough truth there so that they can get some results, but there's enough error there that they will never be able to truly restore health. What Pasteur brought was he put a face to the name of the evil spirits of the shamans by calling out these unseen attackers of germs as though they were lurking about, waiting to pounce upon the unsuspecting and infest them with disease without any hope other than running to the academicians, to the doctors, to the educated, to be heroes. So that was a very saleable idea, and academia latched onto it. Royalty, Emperor Napoleon III latched on to Pasteur. The media of the day did. And Bisham, when he finally learned of this and came forward, was denounced as a jealous old man.
Interesting.
Although, again, Lancet and Nature both knew 100 years ago this month the truth. They didn't publish the truth. They waited for others to do so. And Dr. Carley and I, and a few others, a growing number now, are beginning to get this information out. Now, I've been working at this since the 70s, and I can tell you that 10 years ago, the old Alta Vista search engine, which was in the early days of the Internet what Google is today, and 10 years ago, if you put Antoine Bisham's name in that search engine, you would come up with a few hundred hits. As recently as just a few years ago, that number got up to almost 1,000 if you looked on the early Google search engines. Today, you'll find tens of thousands of mentions, although sadly, the vast majority of those you'll find tied to UFO websites or things that are controversial, so it gives an easy out for the academicians to say, oh yeah, that Bisham, he's tied to all those nutcases and wackos.
Yes.
But the truth is, once again, they're not looking at the actual work of Bisham. They're trying to discredit him by some association, whether real or imagined.
And, well, as if he has anything to do with being on a UFO website, that's ridiculous, but I just wanted to say a couple more things about Pasteur. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, it's not just that he stole the Chomps information. There's a lot of plagiarists out there, but what he did with it, to totally twist it around to the exact opposite, that is how he has created all this damage. And I wanted to ask you two questions about Pasteur. First of all, this word pasteurization, somebody asked me about that the other day. How did Pasteur develop this concept? And I don't know the answer to that. I'm sure you probably do. And the other thing I wanted to ask you is, when Pasteur wrote his books on the one germ, one disease theory scam that he postulated, did he ever talk about toxicity at all? I've never seen any place that I've read where Pasteur even mentions whether or not toxicity is an important thing.
No, again, Pasteur was far too dull, not bright enough to even catch that aspect of Bisham's work. He just overly simplified Bisham's work and, in fact, turned it inside out, upside down, and misrepresented it then. He did so because he was a goof, because he was just not very bright, and eventually did find his error, but never publicly recanted, because by that time he'd been lifted up as such this great god. And as far as pasteurization, as Pasteur caught the fancy and the flair of royalty, academicians, the media, and even the general public, he had such a flair against the microbe that he was infatuated by boiling to kill these organisms. And in fact, he caused problems for the wine industry that... Some historians write about his wonders for the wine industry, but when you look at the actual facts, he actually harmed it by advocating heating, which actually destroys the fermentative mechanism and causes an inferior wine. And it actually did hurt the wine industry for a while in France as they ignored Bisham, the solution that he gave. So it was Pasteur's idea to heat things to kill the microbe. He didn't actually design pasteurization of milk, but they named it in his honor because they were following his flawed principles of heating to destroy the microbe that they did with milk. And, of course, when they did that with milk, it's really a microcosm of the whole problem of Pasteurian science, because the pasteurization of milk does several things. Number one, it changes the molecular structure of the calcium in the milk, and it renders that calcium unable to be used by the body for two reasons. One, because of the change of the molecular configuration, because heat changes. I mean, anybody who's taken basic chemistry knows that's one of the things they use as a catalyst to cause changes in experiments is apply fire to it, apply heat. It changes the molecular structure of the nutrients.
Well,
it
also
destroys nutrients in the milk.
Anyone that bakes knows about that. I mean, you don't even have to be a scientist. That's how baking is involved in changing, you know, milk and eggs and flour and these things into cakes and breads and all those things. So that's what's so amazing is that I didn't realize that they just did that in his honor. I thought that that was something he had been involved in.
Well, they were following his flawed principles and then named their flawed practice they developed from his flawed principles in his honor. Interesting that pasteurization also destroys nutrients. For instance, any animal product, of which milk obviously is an animal product, requires pyridoxal, or what's commonly called vitamin B6, for the body to utilize the protein structure. In the absence of that pyridoxal, you have all kinds of problems that result, one of them being heart disease over the course of time. And the pasteurization and then subsequent homogenization of milk makes it one of the prime causes of heart disease. Not the prime cause, but one of them. Because all of the vitamin B6 is eliminated with pasteurization. So the pasteurization renders the calcium unable to be used and causes it to deposit in the tissues, which we call rheumatism, or deposit on the bones rather than in the bones. When you have calcium on the bones, we call that osteoarthritis, because it's not getting into the bone, so you have a lack of structure where it's supposed to be structured, and then it ends up deposited on the outside in the form of various forms of osteoarthritis, or rheumatoid arthritis if it deposits in the tissues because the body can no longer use it because of the pasteurization. And then the elimination of vitamin B6, which causes an impartial breakdown of the methionine and of the tryptophan, most important being the methionine problem, in the absence of B6. So they've taken a perfectly good substance, milk, and turned it into actually a harmful substance when it's pasteurized. You know, I tell people that there's really not a nickel's worth of difference between a glass of pasteurized, homogenized milk and a glass of Pepsi, because they both pretty much do the same destruction. You know, there's a little bit of variance, but they're much more similar than they are different.
Well, I've had Robert Cohen on the show, and I love what he calls milk liquid meat, which is pretty disgusting when you think about it. But, of course, milk also has pesticides and growth hormone and all kinds of other things. And, you know, milk is for cows, but that's another whole show. But we're running out of time so fast, Chris. We only have 5 minutes left. I wanted to just ask you to expound further. You had mentioned that Flexner report as you were discussing the history of all of this. And could you please go into a little bit more detail about that and explain to the listeners why that is so important and how that has was actually the beginning of the total corruption of the medical profession?
Yes, well, Flexner was a paid minion of the Rockefellers and Carnegie, and interesting that Andrew Carnegie was also the one who financed all the work to bring down Tesla. So the two greatest scientists of this age, Bisham and Tesla, were both brought down by the monies and corruption of Andrew Carnegie, as well as John D. Rockefeller Sr. But this Flexner was a hack of them. And what he ostensibly did is went to every state in the union and examined all of the healing training academies or colleges and universities. And he came to a conclusion, of course, I would tell you he already had the conclusion before he started,
right?
That the American health education system was in a shambles. And so we needed to concentrate on the Germanic hospital drug-based system and dispose of all others for the good of the people. Of course, that was really for the good of John D. Rockefeller's oil, which is where most of the drugs came from, and the all the investments of Carnegie and Rockefeller were in these interferences with hospitals. Interesting that in Tennessee, Flexner noted that the state of the Tennessee education system was so abysmal that he said there really wasn't any institution that was satisfactory, but he recommended seriously funding Vanderbilt University because he said there should be at least one school in every state. So he singled out Vanderbilt, and subsequently Dale Carnegie funded $1 million, which at that time was a lot more money than it is now, to bring Vanderbilt up to the standards that Flexner wrote about. And, of course, today Vanderbilt is seen as one of the great institutions, which is actually one of the most fraudulent, very involved in vaccine corruption. And it should be no surprise that it's so fraudulent because it was founded upon fraud. For you see, Abraham Flexner's summer neighbor that went hunting and fishing together was the chancellor of Vanderbilt University. So you see, this influence peddling is the basis of modern medicine. And the Flexner Report got rid of all of the other forms of healing, or rather it pressed against them and lifted up medicine and got public funding. This was used by the government to give public funding, and that's why we have modern medicine today, is because of Flexner's report, which was paid for by Rockefeller and Carnegie. It's not based on science. It's not based on truth. It's based on a business model. And that's why we have a sick care management system. We don't have a health care system in this nation. We have a sick care system. It's very profitable, and especially it was for John D. Rockefeller back then because there weren't very many cars around, and he didn't have much good for this black goop that he was cornering the market on, except they could make drugs out of the manipulation of this black goop and out of coal tar byproducts, which he also had cornered the market on. So it was really a marketing device for John D. Rockefeller Sr. and his cronies, the robber barons of that time, who still are the robber barons in this time, although now they're called titans of industry. So that's knell for health.
Yes, and I'm glad you said that word death, because that's what I wanted to add, is that, in fact, the profession, quote-unquote, of medicine has actually not become just sick care, but it's creation of death. They are now creating diseases and causing death and suffering of untold proportions, and that is why I have come out to the point where my goal is to cause the death of medicine, and I am convinced it's going to happen. More and more people are waking up every day as to the frauds that are being on out there being told to the people. And we're actually out of time, but next month, on next month's show, the first Thursday of the month, I definitely want to have you share with the listeners some of the wonderful things you were telling me last night when we spoke about the FDA and putting out warnings about supplements. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. It's hysterical how desperate these minions are becoming to try to scare people away from supplements as people are spending their own personal funds by the billions on these supplements. So I want to thank you so much for an excellent show, Chris, and I'm sure that Ida Onaroff and Antoine Bichamp both are smiling down on you for all of your information. You have such a wealth of historical as well as nutritional knowledge, and I am so grateful that you are in my life. You've taught me so much, and I'm just so happy that we're doing shows together again.
Well, Dr. Carley, it is always an honor and a privilege to be on the air with you at any time. Thank you for this avenue to get this light of truth shining through the darkness. This is the beginning of the year that we start to take back and turn things around on modern medicine and restore health freedom.
And not only that, but just think what's going to happen when we have this epidemic of wellness. People are going to stop putting up with lots of other things that are going on in this world. So thanks again, Chris, for a great show. And please stay tuned next week, folks. We'll have another excellent show. We're going to be talking about this insane law they're coming out with where they're trying to force pregnant women to be examined psychiatrically so they can put them on toxic drugs. It's just amazing what's going on. So thank you again, Chris, and have a great week.
Thank you, Dr. Carley.
Good night.